I Don't Do Podcasts with Robbie Stevens is a presentation of Talkers Radio.
A couple of days ago, I did a pretty long interview for a book on progressive rock with a writer who's made a career of writing intelligently and creatively about rock music. We started with arcane stuff, like the musicians being classically trained, changing keys, changing time signatures, and other inside baseball kind of stuff. Then we got bored with that approach, and we took a deeper dive. The bands Yes, King Crimson, Emerson, Lake & Palmer, although I was not a big fan of theirs, Kansas, Crack the Sky, Pink Floyd, A Gentle Giant, take your pick. And for God's sake, don't pick your poison or the band poison, because we're not talking hair bands. And what was once the second side of the Beatles' Abbey Road when there was vinyl, and this is the opus that follows Here Comes the Sun and is now simply referred to as the Abbey Road Medley, was progressive rock at its finest and most musical. And calling it the Abbey Road Medley trivializes one of the great pieces of all time. And I am no stranger to classical music. Now, what made these musical mavericks tick? What, besides a boring checklist of musical options, created the term progressive as it applied to rock music? For starters, if the creators knew the rules, they defied them. Or they stayed away from OPM, in this case, other people's music, so they couldn't be influenced by anyone. They were arrogant, and they were brilliant. Which got me thinking about progressive lyrics. And I got shivers as I faced an undeniable sadness. I realized that music can no longer change the world, and that I was alive, although a very young pup, when it could and when it did. You got the pelvis of Elvis blowing June Cleaver out of the water and making damn sure that married couples in TV sitcoms no longer slept in individual single beds separated by a night table. You got Dylan's Blowing in the Wind, which to me was and is and always will be a condemnation of mindlessness in general and warfare in particular. And the Beatles, really John Lennon's Revolution, which is lyrically brilliant throughout and contained a transcendent couplet for the ages, one of the few that would belong on a Mount Rushmore of rock lyrics. That being, "But if you want money for people with minds that hate, well, all I can tell you is, brother, you have to wait." Chills, chills, and more chills. Irony is cruel. Imagine how hard it must have been for him as a writer and as a man craving a peaceful world to chastise smaller-minded comrades who thought violence was a tool that could lead to peace. Violence is a tool that can lead to peace is an oxymoron if ever there was one. And then on to Abraham, Martin, and John by that subversive hipster Dion DiMucci, better known by his standalone first name Dion, who was Jack Kerouac in disguise. And finally, on to a song that proved that you don't have to be poetic to be powerful, that sometimes literal works just fine, which is Neil Young and crew doing Four Dead in Ohio. And remember Thunderclap Newman, Something in the Air? And so many, many more iconic visions of how much better men and women could treat and be treated by their fellow men and women. Now, music changed the mindset of the future leaders of the world, and it redefined what civilized meant in the civilization that followed. Look at that decade, plus minus a few years. Nixon was out, Ford held the fort, and Jimmy Carter was elected. Decency had a decent run, but shorter than I wish it could have had. And in retrospect, Ronald Reagan was George McGovern compared to what we've got now. And to those of you who remind me that weapons keep getting more powerful and people get exponentially nastier by the day, much of it via social media, please remember that the Cold War got a little warmer each day for a precious decade or two. And chances are, if it didn't, 9/11 might have led to WW3, and I wouldn't be here to think and talk, and you wouldn't be here to listen and think, and maybe call in sometime in the near future. I don't think in 2019, regardless of the man-made categories of music, whether it's rock or pop or rap or jazz or classical or whatever, I don't think music has the power it once did to change things for the better. And looking at it with 2020 hindsight, I think that glossy 8x10s followed by salacious yet fascinating behavior took precedence over creativity, thoughtfulness, and responsibility. And thinking about it, it's a book and not a sentence that's needed to explain the connection between people and music and power. Now, don't get me wrong, I'm still in awe of today's best music, today's best songs, with raw nerves and the feelings that come when they're artfully turned into lyrics. Anybody heard Julia Michaels' EP yet? I have a crush on the part of her that would no doubt kill us both. I think what's referred to as country music now comes closest to the real deal. Men finally recognize women as full-fledged men, like actors now respect actresses as full-fledged actors, like a woman or a person of color is no longer counted as a fraction of a white man, as they were when the Constitution was written. So I guess I'll comfort myself with the Beatles, well, really Lennon's lyrics at the end of Revolution. Don't you know it's going to be all right? All right? All right? Well, I don't want to spoil the party, but I myself am not sure. This is Robbie Stevens, and I don't do podcasts.
The proceeding was a presentation of Talkers Radio. Copyright 2019, all rights reserved.